Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome again to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by CornNation.com and hosted on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. My name is Greg Mahochko. I'm one half of your broadcast team for this weekly episodic podcast that's about Nebraska athletics, the good life, and whatever else we can think of to talk about. And joining me, as always, is my good friend, fellow Husker fan, and longtime broadcast buddy, Mr. Brian Toll. Brian, episode number 20, I lost count, 29, and we pushed it back a day because we didn't feel like getting together last night. I was watching Rogue One, a Star Wars story. What were you doing on your Friday night?
I was sleeping.
Fair enough. I also did that. Listeners of the Nerd United podcast, if there's much crossover, will know that when I went and saw Rogue One in theaters, it was one of those really comfortable theaters with the recliners and they bring the food out to you, and I dozed in the theater. When I watched it last night, I fell asleep towards the end because I was nice and comfortable on my couch. Something about this movie, I enjoy the heck out of it now that I've seen it completely all the way through, but I can't... I think I just need more sleep. You know, my body is telling me, sleep more. What's your take, Bri?
Well, when you have kids and everything, it's like, yeah, you know, every once in a while you just got to catch up. It's okay, though.
Before we jump into Husker Nuggets, I've got a question for you. What's better on the cookie side of things? Well, for the sake of argument and trying to do apples to apples as best as we can, we're talking chocolate chip. My mom and dad would watch our son on some Saturdays when I have to work, which is every Saturday, and when my wife has worked like Friday night like she did this week and then Saturday night. So she comes home and sleeps. I take the boy over to Grandma and Grandpa's, he hangs out with them. And when I went to pick him up, they gave me a nice little Ziploc bag of homemade chocolate chip cookies. When I got home, my wife said, oh yeah, by the way, I went to this bakery that you like, and I got some chocolate chip cookies. You get a preference, or you get a say, and I know obviously you haven't tasted the cookies, but what's better, the homemade cookies or like the good bakery cookies? Because I know I have my preference. I'm just wanting your take on it.
I think, personally, homemade cookies, you know, they're made with love.
True.
Yes. That being said, listen here. If I got cookies from my parents and my wife didn't know about it, I came home to cookies from her, and she would be like, oh, I got your cookies. And you're like, oh, that's cool. I got my own. You know, and you know, they especially found out that, you know, from the mother-in-law, I'm eating, you know, because number one, I live with the wife. So therefore, I'm going to eat the wife's cook what the wife got me first. Because guess what? You can sit there and you can play the whole, oh, mom, thanks for got mom. I saved them. You know, I didn't want to eat them all at once, you know, and, you know, the kid likes it and I like it and, you know. She'll believe that. She's like, ooh, that's so cute. You know, whereas the truth is, you know, you ate the wives first because you didn't want the wives to be upset that you dissed hers first, you know.
Here's how it was presented to me. So they hand me this little bag of cookies. There's, you know, 9, 10, whatever chocolate chip cookies in there. And they said, hey, if you know, they're yours to do with what you want. If you want it to, because I'm going up to my grandma's and going to visit my grandma. And then you know, have lunch, stuff like that. And my dad's like, if you want to take some up to your grandma, you can, you know, give some to her. And I said, well, what if I don't want, because I love cookies. I love these, you know, homemade chocolate. I've always, I grew up with them, you know, and I joked. I said, what if I don't want to tell anybody that these cookies exist? He's like, you do whatever you want. But, and you know this because you also have a small child. I gave the boy a cookie as I was getting him in his car seat. And then when we got home and I went to take him out of said car seat, it was just crumbs everywhere. It was ridiculous. He got more on him than he got in him.
Don't they sell? Don't you sell that minivan that has the built-in vacuum?
That would be the Chrysler Pacifica Limited. Yes, the Stow and Vac. It is. First of all, there are only two minivans on the market with a built-in vacuum: the Chrysler Pacifica and the Honda Odyssey. However, the Honda Odyssey does not have as good a suction power. Plus, it is a bagged vacuum system, whereas the Pacifica is bagless. When it is full, you open the door where the Stovac container is, you take it out, and you dump it in your can, you put it right back in. It's great. It's the best product out there. However, I don't have one. I don't have that kind of van. I have a truck. My wife has a town and country.
I get the crumb part because crumbs and chairs, kid chairs and cars are really a pain in the ass to clean.
Sure.
Those things are a pain in the ass to clean again. Now that being said, the kids only, you know, gonna get cookies from grandma or grandpa every once in a great while in his life, so let him have the damn cookies.
And that's the thing. I joked, but I came home and I said, oh, by the way, I got these cookies. Here's the thing. I was completely shocked that she had brought cookies home. I only saw brownies. By the way, candied bacon fudge brownies. Quite delicious.
That doesn't even sound good.
It is. It's a little salty. It's a little sweet.
It doesn't sound good.
Trust me, Brian.
I'm not a salty and sweet guy. I'm just not.
I'm just saying it tastes delicious. I know it may not sound ideal, but it tastes really good.
You know what gets brought home in our house?
Tell me.
Bagels. Bagels and muffin tops.
What kind of bagels?
Panera.
Okay, I mean, but like what, like flavor?
Chocolate chip, blueberry, the cinnamon ones I dig.
The ones that weird me out are like the onion ones. That's not what I want in a bagel. That's not what I want for breakfast.
What you do with the onion ones? You make like a roast beef sandwich out of it.
Whatever. Truth be told, because you know Panera is I don't know how the parentage of the companies, but I know Panera and St. Louis Bread Company are related somehow. St. Louis Bread Company has amazing bagels, but I always like just the plain bagels with a little bit of butter or jam on them. So, all that being said, let's talk some Nebraska athletics. We're recording this.
Speaking of butter and jam. Look, they're coming back.
I was going to say...
They're going to come back.
What's that?
Spring football, they're coming back.
Yay!
They're coming back. Spring football's coming back.
Now, that's not where I was jumping to. I was going to jump to the fact that we're coming off the heels of a doubleheader sweep for the baseball team over Cal Poly earlier today.
Yeah.
I mean, they need these types of wins before they get into conference play, right? I mean, the non-conference is just supposed to get you a little bit better and get you more ready for conference season. That's the idea, right?
Bullpen had some severe issues this weekend because the game Nebraska lost on Friday night, which was game two of the set. Chad Lindzman, who's quote-unquote, as Derner said, quoted, the best arm in the bullpen. Two blocks, three hits, if I remember right. It wasn't good, Bob. And then they didn't look. I didn't think it looked great in game one. Game two, they were up 6-1 in after seven, and the winning run was at first base when the double play to end the game happened. So Nebraska did do well with the bats, I thought, especially Saturday. That being said, relief pitching for Nebraska has been really, really iffy. And I think that's a big concern because Nebraska doesn't have that good of an offense yet. It was a little better. It was a little better this week. I do kind of need to get home. They get home Tuesday versus Kansas State. But they need to get the guys below the Myers, the Hohenseys, the Matt Waldrons, and start, you know, if it's past a starter, then Nebraska's got to get better. Bottom line, if you're going to, you know, and the, I'll tell you this, the Big Ten is not starting very strong this year. The Big Ten is there for the taking. And, you know, Nebraska's started real slow. If they're a top 500 team, and I'll say this, if they're a 500 team and they do not make the Big Ten tournament, I really don't know if Darren Erstedt has a job. And yeah, you can claim he can. He's alumni. You can claim he's cheap. You can claim his name, but ever since Nebraska's joined the Big Ten, I don't know. I think you can argue that they've been disappointing. The most disappointing team you can find, as opposed to what they should be doing, is baseball. They played in one Big Ten championship game, didn't win it. You know, they lost again. And granted, it was against a good Indiana team that year. Kyle Schwarber, Kyle says hello. But if Nebraska's not, you know, Nebraska should be doing better in baseball. And I kind of will say, you know, it comes down to resources. Nebraska has the best field in the conference. Nebraska has the best fan base in the conference when it comes to baseball. Maybe save Maryland. Maybe save Indiana. There's nothing that says Nebraska can't win a baseball in the Big Ten. And the fact that they haven't, the fact that they've struggled is really disappointing, to be blunt.
Baseball had, baseball and basketball sort of had their parallels, right? Because you bring in a head coach with, you know, a bunch of excitement and enthusiasm and they do well, but then assistant coaches go elsewhere, and then it seems like the teams don't perform as well. I mean, because Nebraska baseball had a situation within the last couple of years where was it the hitting coach or pitching coach went for, you know, got you know, picked or pinched by another school to be their head coach? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm not 100% sure. I know Silva's been there for a while, so I don't think Silva's really kind of one to talk. I know people think that Silva is the weak link of this of the staff. Will Bolt was there to help.
That's what it was. Will Bolt.
Will Bolt's now at Texas A&M, and I would safely say that if Darren Erstedt did get fired, Will Bolt is one of like three or four names that's on a very short list to take over for Nebraska. I would say him, Andy Sawyers are at least two I could think of. That all being said, I think Nebraska can get a little better this year. I think, like I said, if they figure out the back end pitching and get more consistent offense, you know, you don't have to worry about walk off losses like that. They'll lose games, and I get that. That's fine. But, you know, they should be better than 12-10 right now. And I know they lost a couple games because of weather the first weekend. I know that they played a really tough weekend in Frisco. I was there. You know, Oklahoma State's not bad. Arkansas got on them early, you know, and arguably the best team of the bunch, Arizona, they beat. So I get all that. Nebraska has to show more consistency. You know, first part of the year, the bats were quiet, and it's kind of funny because every time I hear Darren Erstedt talk about the bats, you know, he didn't really give an answer of, you know, what he thought was the problem. You know, he's, oh, we're fighting, we're fighting, we're fighting. Okay. well, how's this going to fix itself? And now the bats have kind of come along, but, you know, the back end pitching's kind of been brutal. Today was an example. Yesterday was an example. So, I don't know. I really want Darren to – I think everybody wants Darren to succeed, but I also think that, you know, yeah, football should have won something by now, maybe. Basketball, we were kind of hoping they'd do something, but baseball was the one sport that everybody thought with the Big Ten move, the Big Ten that, you know, with Nebraska's
pedigree,
you know, type of program they've had, pedigree, yeah, facilities and resources, they should be doing a lot better than they are, and I think that's fair.
Is it?
I really do.
It seems like. And again, I mentioned the parallels between the baseball and basketball, but the three main male athletic programs, you know, football, basketball, baseball, fans are eagerly, albeit maybe slightly impatiently, waiting for all three of these programs to take that next step, get over the hump. I mean, that... We talk about it. I mean, we've talked about it here at length, be it, you know, especially in season. You know, we were talking about Nebraska football and basketball, and we're just, you know, like, oh, we have so much built up anticipation for, you know, the football season this year because we're going to have a coaching staff with the quarterback that they want and, you know, the hopefully a better offensive line and, now we've got, you know, a new defensive scheme, and pieces could, you know, or again, this is all hypothetical, but pieces are coming together, and we talk about basketball, and, you know, next year we'll have, we won't have Ty Webster, but we'll have a lot of guys coming back and a good core, you know, returning, and everybody's going to be a little older. And now baseball, it's like, you know, they should be competing, and like you said, with the Big Ten being... you know, sort of up for grabs, seems like this is the optimum time to strike, but the pieces have to fall into place. So, I don't know.
You know, one thing I'll say this is, you know, they got some talent on this team. I mean, Jake Myers is pretty good. He's probably been a better pitcher right now than a hitter. Not saying he's a bad hitter, but his 29, 30 inning scoreless streak is nothing to laugh at. You know, they got the all world nickname guy with Mojo. Altavilla's actually been pretty good at the bat, I think. Defensively, they haven't been bad. They've been better than most. You know, college baseball teams are not going to be all great defensively, but I think they've been actually pretty good. So,
and we talked too about strength of schedule that they've had up to this point in the fact that it's so much better than some of the, you know, heavy hitters of the Big Ten Conference where, Nebraska had a strength of schedule 60 or something like that. And I'm flying by the seat of my pants here.
It's gone downhill a little bit.
But, like, the Michigans, things like that were in the 200s. So, I mean, it's... you know, it's current point of schedule, strength of schedule. If that makes any sense. But let's switch gears a little bit because towards the top of our Husker athletics discussion, after we talked about cookies and brownies and all the good stuff, spring break is over. Time to get back to work.
Foosball.
Okay,
which anybody seems to care about, but hey, you know,
it's a football state, folks.
It's a weird football state. You know, the one thing I'll say about so far, I think Nebraska's been a little under radar-ish when it comes to how spring football is going. I mean, nobody's really talking about. You know, we all thought, ooh, quarterback battle. And it's not happened, you know.
Now, when you say nobody's talking about it, you mean nobody outside of the normal Nebraska media? Or are you talking about really anybody?
I'm more talking about the fact that, you know, we were all looking for this big race. You know, we're looking to get a starter. We're looking to get a big race. And all of a sudden, before practice even started, Mike Riley said, well, not happening. Thanks for playing. We'll figure that out in the August. You guys are just going to watch him be one all week. And we're like, oh, shucks, where's the fun of that? You know? And so I think they kind of took the – and I think it's good that they took the drama out of it, at least a little bit like that. I think what's actually come to the forefront is the defensive changeover and, you know, the things like moving Kalu to safety, like the energy, the visualizations of Lamar Jackson starting a corner, who's going to be the nose, Stoltenberg's hip, gaining weight, who's going to be the tackles, who's looked good at, you know, all that. Who's looked good at a linebacker.
How pissed off is Haas Reuter about Stoltenberg, you know, being in the running for nose tackle?
He ain't happy, Bob.
I just know that he went on a tirade.
I still think a freshman's coming in and getting the job. I really do.
Someone who's built for that scheme, who's been playing that scheme for a while. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. You're going to need a couple guys, you know, the Daniels, the Watts, the they're going to have to come in and play. Deontay Thomas's, you know. I'm kind of still interested in some of the spots that are, you know, for grabs, like the tight ends. You know, it sounds like Tyler Hopps is going to get the first shot, you know, whether it's good or not. It's one thing.
But tight end, I mean, because they're replacing everybody. So everybody's, you know, I could go there and be like, I want to play tight end.
And they would say, no, you're too old, you freak. Yet you don't have any, eligibility to get off the practice field security. Where are you at?
I only have a 2-year degree, so I do have eligibility, sir. How dare you make such assumptions about me? And based on my obviously triggered and defensive stance, I belong.
Triggered, there, slugger.
I'm gonna go take up my safe space on a college campus, and I'm gonna be a benefit to a program somewhere. They're gonna be calling my name.
Is this where I call you Snowflake?
Yeah. That's it. I'm awful delicate right now.
We're gonna have to edit that out because someone's gonna get real pissed.
Nah.
Yes.
Nope. And I'll tell you why. They can send their complaints to jitterymonkey@gmail.com, and I will respond to them with an emoji of a middle finger.
Don't be that guy.
No. I'm going to be that guy. I don't care. Don't be that guy. It's Saturday night, man. It's hashtag CN after dark.
Anyhow.
Let's talk. We mentioned the
and these minutes are not necessarily those at coronation.com, everybody. Anyway.
Yeah, coronation's off the hook. tell me a little bit about the very exciting running back battle, because that, I think, it seems like it's getting more press than the quarterback battle.
I've kind of discovered that if this is going to be Trey Bryant's spring to either shit or get out the pot. And I think that Zigbo's kind of going down the hill a little bit. Not in like a bad sense, but I think, you know, everybody's kind of fluffing on Wilbon, fluffing on Bryant. And I get the Bryant. I don't get the Wilbon part. I'm going to have to see that to believe it. But I also think that that Nebraska's really needing that spot to be healthy. They have four scholarship guys, Mazur, Brad, you know, Bradley, hopefully he qualifies, and then that's it.
Who?
In Nebraska's, you got White, Mazur, you got Trey Bryant, you got Wilbon, you got Zigbo, somebody else is on scholarship, I can't remember offhand.
I'm going to pick your brain. I'm going to pick your recent history brain real quick. Because I'm trying to think of the last time that, and I know the season is long in wear and tear and every team feels, when was the last time Nebraska got through a season with a healthy, stable, you know, running backs not missing any time for because of injury? Would that have, I mean. Yeah.
Kind of last year, I think, you know. Before then.
But Newby missed some time last year, didn't he?
A little bit. But
Ozigbo missed some time. Wilbon was milk cartoned for a different reason.
Trey Bryant got milk cartoned.
True. Trey Bryant, you know, and showed a lot of great things, but at the same time, on occasion, you know, on screens and things like that, showed a little bit of stone handitis. You know, gotta.
Yeah. Well, he's also. I thought, and this is me being, maybe I'm a jerk here, but I thought that maybe. They kind of pulled the plug on Brian a little too early at times last year.
I could see that.
Because, you know, the things that Wilbon did kind of kept him off the field, things that Brian kept him off the field, the things that Newby did, well, gosh, Trail's just that damn good. We'll just let him play, you know. And I'll use an exact example. The first drive versus Northwestern.
Yeah.
Okay. Northwestern, you know, Newby fumbles it out of the back of the end zone, and all of a sudden, oh, look, he's there. Cool, huh? Trey Bryant can't catch a screen pass, you know, and you go to Siberia. You're no good for you, you know.
how good, and be realistic, you know, because I think a lot of people want to pump sunshine, but how good could Trey Bryant be?
He could probably be second team Big Ten.
Let me rephrase by saying not this upcoming season, but like, you know, at his peak in college.
I think it honestly matters on two things. I think it matters one on how good that offensive line develops with Farniok, Brokop, Decker at center. It sounds like Michael Decker's going to be at center, and that's a good thing. Guys, like I said, Farniok, Brokop, Gates and everything, you know, how far do they come along? But I think also number two is, you know, this has kind of been the proven thing with Langsdorf and Riley when it comes to running backs is the more thorough you are, the more you're going to see the field. You know, if you can do the three, which is run, pass catch, and block, okay, and it seems like run and pass blocking is one and two versus three, you know, catching. But if you can do all three and you're the best one doing all three, you're going to see the field. And I think that really matters with Trey Bryant because we kind of saw last year, they wanted to get Wilbon more in the screen game. They had a hard time getting the screen game going because Armstrong. And that ain't a dick thing to say. I'm just being honest. You know, that's something, you know. And I read something earlier this week, and probably is a good time to say it now. So, we all remember when Sam Keller was there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not an octopus calendar, so don't think of it that way. But
don't we have Sam Keller to blame in part for no longer having EA Sports NCAA football?
Yes, but that's not where I'm going.
I know. Okay? I'm just trying to connect the dots.
My thing was everybody's thing with Sam Keller was that Sam Keller was, you know, the check down master. You know, boom boom went to Marlon Lucky. Boom boom went to Marlon Lucky. Boom boom went to Marlon Lucky. I remember Marlon Lucky set the record for receptions 1 year. Led the team receptions. I think set the team record receptions. And everybody claimed it was, you know, because Keller had never looked at the deep ball. Well, Sam McEwen gets on and says, you know, is this new offense with these quarterbacks going to be the same Keller special? Where it's just check down, check down, check down. And I find that interesting because, you know, it's a weird setup because let's say these guys kind of throw missiles and get intercepted. You know, there's a double-edged sword. Why didn't they take the check down versus if they take the check down too much, why won't they look downfield, you know? It's kind of a six half dozen screwed one way shaft in another. You know what I'm saying? But ask yourself this, and this is not a question about was Marlon Lucky good, because I thought he was better. He's a lot better than what, you know, people try to trash him for. You know, because you're either, you know, the five star in Nebraska, you're either all world or you're garbage. There's literally no middle ground in that chasm. But which one of those backs do you trust out of the backfield getting the check down 7, 8, 10 times a game?
There's something about
exactly that's my point.
I mean, it's tough because none of them have shined, you know, or shown whatever the past tense is. You know, none of them have done it, you know, consistently, you know, as a breakout. There's something about Ezigbo that I like on, you know, like a little bubble screen, you know, something. I don't know. That is a tough question. But at the same time, there has not been, because they've had, and I guess this is a blessing in disguise, I don't know. At least I'm going to try to word it.
It's hard to answer.
Yeah, I'm going to try to word it as a blessing in disguise because, you know, for the last couple of years now, we've had so many options at running back. We've had so many guys get in there, you know, so we haven't seen anybody really build up much of a consistent rhythm game to game, or even, you know, quarter to quarter. I mean, because the one thing that really, I think, I'm trying to think of the one game that really had the different effect. Got to go back to last fall against Illinois when Newby said, "Give me the ball," and they gave him the ball. That's really the only time that I think we saw any one of them in there sustained for, you know, a half of football. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I mean, Newby was kind of the way that was, you know. Of course, definitely Amir was like that, and Rex was like that, and Haley was like that, you know.
You're right.
And ever since Amir's gone, you know, Amani was never like that.
No, Amani was definitely situational, I think.
Yeah, Amani was the...
And that's the thing. I missed the heck out of Amani Cross, you know, because I think, again, because you had Amir, you didn't always... I think Amani Cross was underutilized, but it made sense because Amir was that good, you know? Yeah. And it was a tough spot for Cross to be in. But you got to remember, when we talked about this, you've got to go back several years to another website. I think it was probably another website that we might have been talking about when Cross came in and Abdullah, and there were two or three. There was another one in that class that transferred out.
Braylon Hurd.
Thank you.
Aaron Green.
Yep. And these guys, you know, they didn't. Well, you know, two of them. Bless their hearts.
Trust me, nobody really misses Braylon Hurd in Nebraska. Okay? You miss the shit out of Aaron Green. Aaron Green had a decent, you know, I wouldn't say Aaron Green had a great career at TCU, but that kid had a ton of potential. And I mean, he had a ton of potential. Hurd had a ton of potential too, but I don't think Braylon did a very good job with it, especially at Kentucky. You know, Aaron Green at TCU had a pretty serviceable career. And I think it could have been better at Nebraska.
But only one of that bunch.
But I also think that.
Is playing on Sundays.
Was Amir.
Yep.
Yeah.
As the macho man Randy Savage said, the cream rises to the top. Oh, yeah.
Why'd you go there, dude?
What?
Why?
The cream. He was the cream of the crop.
That didn't necessarily need to happen.
It did.
That voice. No, it didn't.
Oh, you know what? You need to snap into a Slim Jim.
Oh, God, shut up. Anyhow. Yeah, do the dance, dog. Anyway. Anyway, so first practice back is Tuesday. And I don't expect them to do. I expected to, you know, Bob Diaco's supposed to speak, and I expect them to be, oh, Relentless Energy, and blah, blah, blah.
And yeah. We also anticipate that this time that Bob Diaco speaks, he'll wear a shirt, unlike a Football 101.
Oh, God, no, stop. No.
Oh, Brian, it's late, and I'm feeling goofy, so just go with it, man. Hey, hey.
You have to poop, anyway.
Brian, just go with it, man.
No, I'm not.
Spring game is
April 15th, day before
Easter.
Easter, and oh my God, the visitors that we could have on this, we could have at the very minimum 20 four and five stars.
So that is, these are not. I mean,
and I haven't talked recruiting. I haven't talked recruiting a lot because I've been busy with other stuff in life. But
we'll get to it.
The site
that would be a good the show before the spring game would be a good time to cover some of these recruits that are coming in. But you know, because I'm stupid to recruiting and to much more in life. Obviously, these aren't going to be guys who are graduating this spring, but you know, like heading into their senior year.
Heading into the senior year, their junior year, heading into their sophomore year.
I was going to say, yeah, how young are these young men, you know? I mean,
they're all unofficial visits.
Gotcha.
They're all coming on their dime. Remember, we were told getting kids to Lincoln is hard.
Is there any, you know, and I know the song is There Is No Place Like Nebraska, obviously, but is there any place that has a spring game environment quite like ours?
Oh, Ohio State. You know, and let's be honest. You know, the big thing Nebraska sells is the whole game day experience. Okay. It doesn't help the Nebraska's having their spring game on the day before
Easter weekend, Easter, Holy Week. You know, Holy Week for you fellow Catholics out there.
Several schools are. Texas is. Ohio State is.
Yeah, but both of those schools are heathen schools, so they wouldn't celebrate Easter anyway.
I'm sure somebody celebrates Easter. No. Baptists celebrate Easter. Oh, my God, they celebrate Easter.
Texas does, you see, because Texas has the devil horns, so they wouldn't celebrate Easter.
You need to calm down. I live here, and I don't want people mousing my house, you jerk.
Don't tell him where you live, man.
Anyway.
All right, everybody. He lives in El Paso. El Paso, Texas.
Marty Robinson's house.
that's a good... You know what? That's how we're going to end the show, is I'm going to break into song. I'm not going to do that, folks. I'm sure there's copyright infringement I can't afford to pay. So,
We can't upset dogs to slate either, man. Yeah.
Shut up.
Hey, you got to be careful at your house tonight and tomorrow.
Why?
There's going to be flooding.
There is?
At your house. Oh, yes.
It's news to me.
You don't have... The whole flooding from Kansas City tonight.
Oh, all the tears?
Oh, Jayhawk tears.
I was like flooding because we had rain today, and I was very confused for a minute.
Rock chalk, Bailhawk, yeah.
Rock chalk, Oregon duck.
Look, that doesn't make sense. Thanks for playing.
Didn't Oregon beat Kansas?
Hey, Kansas basketball fans, some of you, look at the bright side.
You
when
got
we start
to the
covering
dance.
Practice again Tuesday at Coronation, you can come and hang with your fellow Creighton Jaskers, and you can find out what's going on the defense, and we'll get you lined back up there, Slugger.
All the Jaysker tears we talked about last week. Brian, it's late. I've already,
whatever.
As we've stated, I'm digging myself a hole, and I just want to
get pants on?
No.
Well, we're fucked.
I mean, it's comfortable here. I'm wearing shorts. Does that count? I mean,
I have Olive Garden, so.
I had bacon in my brownie, so take that, salt.
Ew.
It was good.
We had pizza tonight, so.
And I'll throw this out at you. My wife made chicken and dumplings 2 nights ago, and it was amazing.
I saw your chicken and dumplings, and mine's better. Thanks for playing.
It's my grandma's recipe. It's not better.
I'm sure it isn't.
Your chicken and dumplings are not better than my grandma's chicken and dumplings, which my mom makes now, which my wife makes. It's the best chicken and dumplings ever. No, there's no argument. There's no argument. You're not allowed to argue. End of story.
I'll make smoked chicken and dumplings. How about that?
You can do whatever you want. It's not going to be as good as my grandma's / mom's / wife's chicken and dumplings.
You just want to sleep in bed tonight. You don't want to sleep on the couch.
She's at work. Of course I'm going to sleep in my bed.
She could call and say, get your ass on the couch.
Yeah, that ain't going to work.
Yeah, but when they're gone from the house, you know what the greatest little guilt is?
Taking up more space.
You know this and this. No. You sit there and you kind of roll on your tummy, and then you spread your legs. And no one's there to give you an elbow back.
Hashtag CN after dark.
And then you sit there and you.
I don't want to
be honest.
I don't want
to. Let's be honest. You sit there and you relax and you fart a little bit. There's no one to sit there. Oh my God. Just smelling this hell ever. Oh my God. You don't have to hear the guild. I mean, it's beautiful.
All right. So it doesn't matter if we're in the vehicle. If we're, you know, if we're in the bedroom, just, you know, the two of us getting ready for bed or whatever, if I rip ass, I'm blaming it on the dog. And the dog doesn't even have to be in the same room.
I claim it.
Well, that's the difference between a gentleman such as yourself, myself, and
an
vagrant.
Like me.
And a vagrant.
Vagrant.
All right. Well, let's say goodnight, Brian.
Goodnight, Brian.
All right. That has been a fun, albeit all over the place, episode number 29 of the Five Heart Podcast. Remember that it's okay to add bacon to your brownies, and my grandma's / mom's / wife's chicken and dumplings are the best chicken and dumplings ever. And that Five Heart is all the heart you need. I'm not going to let Brian say anything because he might try to contradict me, and we can't have that. Go Big Red!
Chase your tears.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.